The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is my fine engineer and producer on the other side of the glass, and together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show Midweek Edition. It's Wednesday, May 8th, 2019. I got to tell you, I've been in town 31 years, took a drive, had some business in the foothills this morning, driving down Hacienda del Sol. I have never seen such yellow, just a panorama of yellow from the Palo Verde trees. This certainly is one for the ages this spring. And I'll tell you, the weather with the temperatures, as long as we haven't gone over 100, and last night was actually quite cool. So beautiful spring we're having in Tucson, Arizona. You're listening to 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. We have our worldwide live listening on BuckmasterShow.com and KVOI.com. All of our podcasts available 24/7 at BuckmasterShow.com. Our live line number for Dr. Victoria Mazes, if you have any questions during the upcoming half hour, 790-2040. Dr. Mazes is the executive director of the Andrew Weil Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's a professor of medicine, family, and community medicine and public health at the U of A. Dr. Mazes is internationally recognized as a leader of integrative medicine. She lectures worldwide to academic and community audiences on integrative medical education, women's health, healthy aging, nutrition, and cancer. She's co-author of Integrative Women's Health. She's also edited the Oxford University textbook, Women's Integrative Health, and authored Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. You can follow her on Facebook and on Twitter. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well, and I agree. The Palo Verdes are spectacular.
It's beautiful. Just so beautiful.
Of course, those people who are allergic to them may be a little less joyous than you are.
Yeah, well, I'm all hot. I am all excited after seeing it. Just so lovely. I'm thinking, I have never seen such a palette of yellow and green in the foothills and really all over town. It's just, it's delightful to see. One thing we see a lot of, Dr. Mazes, folks with phones to their ear, the earplug in the ear, talking on the phone. New York Times had a recent piece saying that maybe if you put down your phone, it may help you actually live longer. What's the bottom line to this?
Well, I want to say that I think that headline may be overpromised. However, people are looking at their cell phones a lot, and no one wouldn't be aware of that. I mean, you go to a restaurant and people are looking at their smartphone. Sometimes you're driving and you notice people stopped at the stoplight.
Oh, yes.
They're looking at their cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Any gathering, it's amazing how many people are looking at their cell phone. So it turns out, not surprisingly, someone's actually studied this, and Deloitte, in 2018, their global mobile consumer survey found that on average, we look at our phone 52 times a day.
Oh, are you kidding? 52 times? Oh,
yep.
My goodness.
Yep. And and some people are really worried about this. Young people in particular, 18 to 34-year-olds, feel like they have this quality of addiction, and 60% of them say that they're using their phone too much. The question is, what does it do to you when you're on the phone or when the phone keeps calling you? And it turns out it can affect two different hormones. One is dopamine, which is a brain chemical that helps us form habits, including to the extent of that habit becoming an addiction. And so the people who design smartphones and who design apps that we use in our smartphones actually design them in a way that triggers dopamine because they want us to use their their apps more, and they want us to use the cell phone more, and they have designed the systems to be very effective at creating this sense of psychological addiction to the phone.
You know, the body's main stress hormone, that's, I believe, called, is it cortisol?
Yes.
Is there some kind of link here that chronically being on the phone is actually doing something to that stress hormone?
Well, that's what Catherine Price writes about in this New York Times article that was published a few weeks ago. And the idea is that when you get messages on your phone, when you look at your email, that some of this is bad news, or you're anticipating bad news, and that can create chronic stress, which leads to chronic elevations of cortisol. And we know that chronically elevated cortisol is bad for us, that having the stress hormone on the permanent kind of on position is bad for us. We know that it can affect our sleep, our memory, our attention span. If we're really stressed, it affects our decision making, because our prefrontal cortex, the part of our brain that's responsible for executive functions, just doesn't work very well when we're really stressed. So there is this concern that the constant looking at the phone and checking can increase stress.
How do you break the cycle of something like that? How do you get the anxiety to go away by maybe not checking, or having that craving to check your phone every 5 minutes?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question. And I think lots of people are trying to figure this out. You know, there's a book written, How to Break Up with Your Phone.
And is
people,
there really?
Have written, oh yes, and people have written articles about strategies to use. I think that we can use a variety of strategies. For example, one thing that I did for a while, this wasn't just my phone, it was with my computer, is I would take a Sabbath from my computer. Because what I found was that if I had this thought, oh, you know, I just want to check out this one fact that seems interesting, or I want to add this to a talk that I'm about to give, suddenly 2 hours would have gone by and I would still be on the computer. So I made a commitment to myself that I would not go on the computer, and if I had that kind of thought, I'd write it on a notepad, and that could be at a later point. So that's one possibility, is to just give yourself a period of time where you're off of it. I think turning the notifications off, so we're not constantly hearing these dings and buzzes and whistles and, you know, all of the other things that just keep make us looking at look at the phone. I think it's fine to have your phone ringer on so you get a call, assuming you're not, you know, in a meeting or someplace where you need the phone off. But turning off those notifications can be really powerful. Don't sleep with your phone next to your bed. Put it in another room where it, you know, can charge and not be so tempting to just pick it up frequently. Don't look at it when you're engaged with people, whether that's at dinner or whether it's in a meeting with another person. You know, set it aside so that you're really taking breaks. When you go out to have a hike in this gorgeous weather, don't take the phone. So I think those are some suggestions.
Well, I'll be leaving for 2 weeks on Friday for a couple mm-hmm. of weeks off, and I will be taking the little laptop, but hopefully I won't be looking at it every 5 minutes.
Yes. Well, I mean, and you know, these are other things. We can take vacations and not take our computers, for example. Sometimes those things are necessary. Some people have a lot of discipline and have a very easy time setting the phone aside. Other people need to impose more structure to do that well.
You know, the whole thing, though, about not only the phones, but looking at the device on the home screen, mm-hmm. it almost is like there's some, it feels like there's an addiction. And I think this has been, it's been widely accepted, isn't there, that this kind of this craving mind wants to see if you've got more emails or what's on Facebook. There is an addiction factor, isn't there, Dr. Mazes?
Yes. Well, that's that dopamine main trigger. And let me tell you that the people designing the smartphones and the apps are doing this quite intentionally. Their goal is to have you keep your eyeballs on their product. And so we have to be able to recognize that the devices are being created and create our own boundaries so that we are choosing how to respond as opposed to being manipulated into responding.
All right, Dr. Mazes, we'll stick around for segment two, but right now I want to tell our listeners about my favorite bakery in town, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. So many people reporting back they've been up to Mona's and done the hot breakfast, which was launched 2 or 3 weeks ago now, but they're doing a really nice job with that hot breakfast. They open at 6:30, and the breakfast is going all day, basically. But of course, right now, if you don't want breakfast, you can have lunch at Mona's. One of those great hot turkey sandwiches on the rustic bread would taste so good right now. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is their website. There's also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. And again, Mona's Danish Bakery, the home of the Danish Kringle, one of our great sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show. 12:15, we'll be back with Dr. Victoria Mazes, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To learn more, please visit rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
12:18 on the Buckmaster Show, midweek edition on this Wednesday afternoon on 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, one of our great partners. Make a great weekend getaway with things looking so beautiful in the southwestern United States, and especially not only Tucson, but over in the southwest corner of the Land of Enchantment. Historic Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, offering so many recreation ideas on the website southwestnewmexico.org. That's the starting place. before you drive over there. You'll find some great places to stay and all sorts of recreation ideas in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Victoria Mays is with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. She's the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. And during the break, Dr. Mays, one of our fine listeners was checking you out on your website online. This particular individual was looking for an integrative medicine physician, specifically a cardiologist. Where does someone find an integrative medicine physician in this town? Or is there some kind of directory? It's a good question, I thought. Go ahead.
Great question. So our website does list graduates of our fellowship program and also our integrative health and lifestyle program. Our website is azcim.org, and there's a tab called Find a Practitioner, and that would be one way to find an integrative medicine trained physician here in Tucson.
And you've had a lot of them trained here, correct?
Yes. Well, worldwide, we've trained about 1,800 physicians through our fellowship program, and indeed, we have many in Arizona.
Wonderful news. Let's talk a little bit about this online genetic health testing. I was surprised to read in the New York Times that already 1 in 25 American adults has now taken one of those at-home ancestry tests, and I think this is kind of gotten a lot of people interested in perhaps testing their genetic background. What can you say generally, Dr. Mays, is about genetic health tests on the online?
Well, I do think it's fascinating how many people have now tested around their heritage and trying to understand a little bit more about their ancestry. So that's one part of these tests. And we've all read about people who found out that maybe the person they thought was their biological parent was indeed not their biological parent, and people discovering that they have 25 siblings born from the same sperm donor. And
whoa.
So, you know, it's an interesting time in human evolution to be able to have this information at our fingertips. However, the other kind of testing that's broadly available, as you mentioned, is the genetic health testing. And the tricky part here is that the companies like 23andMe don't test all of the genes. They test a subset of them. And that can mean that people get both false negatives, which means that they're reassured. They go, I'm fine. I don't have that predisposition to name the disease.
Mm-hmm.
Or a false positive where they're frightened that they have an increased risk of something, but it turns out that that test was in error. It was a mistake.
Are they testing, in the case of 23andMe, are they testing for women who are at high risk for breast and ovarian cancer, Dr. Mays?
Yes, so that is one of the tests that 23andMe offers, and the problem is that 23andMe essentially only tests for three of the genetic variations that increase your risk. And so this is a case where it would be very possible to get a false negative. In other words, you don't have one of those three genes, but you have other genes that increase your risk of breast cancer. So the result comes back and says, you're fine, not to worry, but they didn't do the full testing, and therefore it's deceptive.
Has there been some study conducted on this?
Yes, there actually have been a number of studies, and the most recent one hasn't yet been published in a peer-reviewed journal, so you know not everyone's sure about all the methods. However, they looked at 100,000 people and found that of those 100,000 people, 90% who were at risk for breast cancer by virtue of having one of the mutations could have been missed by the testing that 23andMe is doing. And they, even though this wasn't peer-reviewed, they asked a number of different geneticists and oncologists who all agreed that this was of great concern.
Why even create, Dr. Mays, a test that misses so many people? What's why do that?
Well, it's, you know, easier to only test a subset of the genes. You know, our DNA is incredibly massive and complex. And what most of these companies are doing is they are focusing on common genetic, what we call SNPs, single nucleotide polymorphism, so single errors in the DNA. And they're not testing everything. So if you were going to see a geneticist at a university or academic health center, they would be doing a more comprehensive genetic testing than is offered by these companies. And sadly, most people are just not aware of that.
Are they expensive, Dr. Mazes, these tests?
They're not terribly expensive. And actually, just, you know, I noticed I was in Target last week and I noticed that you could just pick 23andMe off the shelf and,
really?
And purchase it there. And a few years ago, a friend of mine gifted me National Geographic, which does an ancestry test. And again, they're not very expensive. There's a range, but they're really quite affordable at this point. However, I think that there's a lot of misinformation that comes from the health testing.
Do the online genetic tests then also give quite a few false positives?
Well, that would be another risk. So a false positive would say, oh my goodness, I have a mutation, for example, that increases my risk of Parkinson's or Alzheimer's, but it turns out it's wrong, that the test comes back and tells you you've got it, but it actually isn't accurate. And a lot of people are caused great distress. I'll give you an example. Early on when this 23andMe was first launched, I had a colleague who called me and told me in great distress that she was at double the risk of ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, boy.
Now, it's a terrible degenerative disease. We have no treatment for it. And she was very distressed. Now, there's a couple things. One is now that some time has gone by, I don't even know if that was accurate. That could have been a false positive. Two, the population risk is 1 in 10,000. So if mm-hmm. you're at double the risk, your risk is 1 in 5,000.
Right.
That's still a pretty low risk. And what are you going to do about it? So I feel like people have this testing, and it often creates a lot of stress, a lot of fear. And except when you really have a very good reason to do it, you have a family history of a genetic disorder, or you're testing for one of the conditions where we actually do have something we could do. So going back to breast cancer, if you have the genes, the BRCA1 or 2, you could decide to have children at a younger age, to breastfeed, to eat a very healthy diet, to reduce your exposure to alcohol, or even in extreme case, to take to go forward and have a mastectomy. So you prophylactically remove the breast so that you don't end up with breast cancer. So that's an example where there are many things you could do by virtue of having that information. But in other situations, for example, the increased risk of ALS, we don't really have specific things that we can advise someone that we know are going to prevent it from manifesting.
And if you're in good health and you're feeling feeling good about everything, and then suddenly you do one of these, it could create all sorts of worrying. It just seems like it's opening Pandora's box, if you will, Pandora's genetic box. Hmm. It just, why put yourself through that if you don't have to? That's kind of the way I see it.
Yes. Now, I think if you and I were talking in 2039 instead of 2019, it's possible that everybody would just have their genetic assessment done soon after birth, and
right.
you would be able to give really personalized advice about what to do and what not to do. But hopefully at that point, the false positive and false negatives would have been reduced, and we would have better ways to prevent some of the serious genetically increased risks, because some of these things are certainly influenced by our lifestyle, not just by our genes.
All right, Dr. Mazes at the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, and also you are now the Andrew Weil Chair, correct?
I am.
Tell me about that title.
It's a great honor.
There you go. I have been
given the inaugural Andrew Weil Chair in Integrative Medicine, and I am deeply honored.
In the couple of months since the announcement, what has the reaction been, Dr. Mazes, to the Andrew Weil gift?
Great excitement and great anticipation about the new work that we're going to be able to do going forward.
All right, Dr. Mazes, we will talk to you in June after I've had a vacation, and we will hope things go very well for you in the coming days. Thank you very much.
Enjoy your vacation. I hope you stay off your screens.
All right. Thank you very much. Dr. Victoria Mazes is with us. She is the Buckmaster contributor on health, and we're delighted to have her with us on the Buckmaster Show. We're coming up now on 12:30. On 10:30, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Bob Dio, my fine engineer, producer, and I will be back with you for the second half of the program. We're going to take a deep dive into City of Tucson, the budget that's coming up, with Tucson City Councilman Richard Fimbres on the Buckmaster Show right after this. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies, as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our midweek edition on 10:30 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Bill Buckmaster with you since 2011 with the Buckmaster Show. Let's go now to Tucson City Hall. Councilman Richard Fimbres, Democrat, Ward 5, with us on the live line. Councilman, how are you?
How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing
Happy
real
Wednesday.
I'm doing real well. How's this budget looking?
We're working on it. It should come up this next coming council meeting on the 21st. We'll discuss the manager's budget, and we're looking at putting some changes, just to making some alterations, but it's coming up. It's good. Mike, city manager Mike Ortega, and the city, his team has done a real good job. City managers, you know, Ortega's budget proposal is structurally balanced for the third year in a row, and the proposed budget is about $566.4 million is what the mayor and council have oversight and control over. The overall budget, though, is $1.6 billion, for which the remainder is mandated by federal and state grants for programs they provide. The budget deals with the salary compression for police, fire, and city blue-collar employees. So we're getting there, and we're moving, not like when I first came into the office in December 7th of 2009. I got sworn in, and then the next week they told us we had a $33.5 million budget deficit.
Wow.
We fixed it. The next year it went to $44 million deficit, and we fixed it. And then the third year it went down to $55 million, and we fixed it. And then we got it down to $18 million. And then when the legislature made the poor decision to mess with the judges and the public safety retirements, and we ended up paying about $36 million. It came to us, so that increased our budget capacity. So since then, I haven't seen a good budget, but thanks to the city manager, the mayor, and my colleagues on the council, we're getting there. And we've been able to keep the city moving in the right direction. And mind you, Bill, that we went through the Great Recession, similar to what the Great Depression was.
How about full-time police, some new police officers? There was talk of maybe 20 new police officers. Does that look like it might be possible?
Yes. There are a total of 40 community service officers who respond to calls. There will be a total of 905 sworn officers with academy graduations and transfers. There are a total of 40 community service officers who respond to calls of burglary, traffic accidents, and found property. In the fiscal year 2020 budget, there are funds for 20 more officers and 10 new community service officers. With the fire guides, we're at 632 firefighters currently, and there will be 24 leaving through retirement. TFD will have an academy for 32 to 34 of firefighters starting this summer.
Oh, that's
so we're,
good.
We're getting up there. Our numbers are creeping back up, and we're providing services that are needed by our, you know, that our community requests.
Councilman Richard Fimbres with us on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. One of our Facebook friends wanted me to ask you, is there any impact with Stone Garden on the city? That the county yesterday decided to take Stone Garden funds, and I understand the city already takes them. Is there any impact in your ward with the county now taking them?
No, I think, you know, this Stone Garden grant's been around for 12 years. And I think what was concerning for the Board of Supervisors the last two was what the Sharon Bronson, I believe, made some stipulations. If they were going to accept this grant this year, that they wouldn't have ICE in the jail and that they would use some of this for humanitarian efforts also. So that's part of the efforts. But, you know, the TPD has done an outstanding job, and Chief Magnus and our folks have done an outstanding job with the policies and procedures.
How do you think the chief is doing? He was on the program a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about we really have now a red light epidemic, Councilman Fimbres, here in town. Do you think maybe the red light? I know the chief thinks that we need to reopen the conversation at least about the red light cameras. What's your take on that?
You know, we've seen an increase in pedestrian fatalities and injuries, and bicycle fatalities and injuries, and motorcycle fatalities and injuries. And a lot of that has to do in the areas where we had photo enforcement.
Right.
And those areas, the numbers of crime right back up. So we had a discussion yesterday at the council meeting. One of the things I want to do is what I do in New Mexico, and we've done up in Phoenix, and we started it down here as safety corridors.
Uh-huh.
So you're looking at some of these areas of high incidence, and you impose a safety corridor, similar to what we do with work zone safety.
Yeah.
And those are things because we have to get people to focus on driving the speed limit and slowing down and not being so distracted. I mean, the governor passed finally a distracted driving ordinance, but it doesn't take effect to 2021, but we already have that in place. And we just got to find resources so that we can improve. The other component that's needed besides education, engineering, is the enforcement component. And that's what we need to start looking at.
And the crosswalks.
Exactly. We've got the Hawks. Richard Nassy was the one that created the Hawks with our very high visible lighting. And, mm-hmm. and then they have audio. And he did that down in Tucson, and they've been adopted all over the country now. And now they're looking at a similar one with more lighting using solar lighting, which is better for us, and it's less costly. And then we also have the rapid response beacon crosswalks, which is what I put in over at Sunnyside High School so that they could get from their parking lot to the school. And that seems to be working, and also it shows people there's a crosswalk there and you need to slow down.
Let's talk a little bit about the economic picture. You joined the council, as you pointed out, about 10 years ago. Is this the most positive you've seen in your tenure on the council as far as economic development in this city?
We're getting there, and I think that I think so. I think we just moved up two numbers in on economic, saying that Tucson's a business-friendly community, and we need to be. We don't have, the luxury the county has of living off property tax. We live off sales tax. So we need to work with the business community. And if we want programs that affect our most needy, most vulnerable citizens, we have to find ways to have that. And that's the business community creating new programs and new development. You got Caterpillar. You know, you have Chamberlain. You have Raytheon. You have Amazon, Home Goods. You have a lot of things coming in. And Geico. In my neck of the woods, is finishing their construction on the regional headquarters at the bridges. It will house 2,100 employees, and Geico is expanding their workforce by an additional 700 employees. And we'll hopefully be cutting that ribbon in June of this year. And then the other big announcement for us at the bridges is JTED announced that they will be building an educational campus at the Tucson Marketplace on the west side of it. The first building will be about 50,000 square foot building that will host 900 students from TUSD and Sunnyside. BFL Construction and Bourne companies are donating the land, and it'll be a capital lease project for JTED. And that's it's slated to open in June of 2020. And then, the biotech biosciences are also there at the bridges with the University of Arizona, and they're looking at breaking ground either this summer or this fall. So there's lots of movement that creates more jobs. And Raytheon, has got the expansion and construction of Raytheon continues, and they're expanding their workforce by 1,975 jobs. And last night, we just approved the land buffer for Raytheon so that they can move the area where they need their parking and stuff. El Rio, we just opened up the El Rio Cherry Bell Center.
Mm.
And that's 150 people working there, providing a very valuable health care that our Southside residents need.
Let me ask you about the bridges. You brought that up a couple of times. Perhaps some of our listeners are not familiar with the bridges. Tell us a little bit about what is that.
The bridges is Kino. It's where Costco, the Walmart,
okay.
The Geico will be. It's where we have a Planet Fitness. We have a... several restaurants in there. We have the Century Theater. It's right where it used to be nothing,
yeah.
The old Sinclair property. It was empty. It was on 36th and Kino. And now it's used. It's right off of I-10. And, the day we opened up that Costco,
mm-hmm.
The national record at that time was $650,000 for grand opening day.
Yeah.
We did 750,000 that day.
At Costco?
At the Costco. That's a new record. And 731 new members signed up. And they came from Sierra Vista, Fort Huachuca, Rio Rico, Sahuarita, Green Valley, Nogales, Sonora, Hermosillo, Culiacan. That's our base.
Wow.
So there's lots of members that come to this off of I-19 and I-10. And it's hit a home run. And once that hit a home run, then we worked with TEP to open up Curacao in the Southgate Shopping Center.
Wow.
And that opened up a thing, and then the Walmart came in. And that's 350 employees. And the important thing for the neighbors who wanted it was because they have a 24-hour market in there.
Very good.
So there's lots of programs. And, you know, when I first got in here and I was shaking people's hands, they're telling me, Mr. Fiemitas, I need to go back to work.
Right.
I need a job. I need to fix my car, pay my rent. And I got to have places around us that I can walk to or bike to.
Yeah.
And that's all I've been trying to do. 9,000 new jobs since 2009 have we been able to create.
Okay.
In Ward 5.
We're going to take a break right here. Councilman Fimbra sticks around for another segment, but I want to tell everybody about Mona's Danish Bakery, which is doing so well up at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Owner and chief baker Steve decided he was going to go full bore for a hot breakfast, and it's up and running. It's doing very well, opening at 6:30 in the morning for breakfast all day. Then there's lunch, of course, right now. All those great sandwiches, all the wonderful breads that they turn out there in their ovens up at Mona's Danish Bakery. Their website is monasdanishbakery.com. There's a link at buckmastershow.com. So stop by Mona's, have some breakfast or why not lunch right now, and then what about for dessert? One of those great brownies. Oh, my goodness, they're so good. Or there may still be some chocolate croissants left from the morning. I love those. All right, we'll take a break right here and be back with Councilman Richard Fimbras after this.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Every day, your safety and freedom is protected by the service and sacrifice of our first responders and military. Please join us in this community effort to build the Southern Arizona Veterans and First Responders Living Memorial, a place to celebrate those who have paid the price for our freedom and those who continue to defend it today. Help create a space where these memories, past, present, and future, will live forever. Learn more and donate by visiting vfrm.org.
Coming back up on 11 minutes now until 1 o'clock here in Tucson, Arizona on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk pretty much everywhere in Arizona. It's going on 1 o'clock unless you're up on the Navajo Nation, where it is actually an hour ahead of us. They're on mountain time. That's new to Bob Dio, my engineer producer. He learned something. That's what it's all about. Try to learn something every day here on The Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program presented by Green Things. What a great location destination this has become. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Not only will you find all the wonderful plants you need to do your spring planting, but also Zocalo. For years, Zocalo was over in Midtown by Country Club and Broadway. They're now part of the Green Things family, and that means all that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. In fact, there are five shops in Zocalo Village at Green Things. GreenThingsAZ.com for more information. Let's go back now to Councilman Richard Fimbres, Ward 5, Democrat, with us on the live line. I was just listening to that spot, Councilman, from Rick Grinnell talking about a first responders memorial. I do want to note that National Vietnam Veterans Day was marked yesterday, the 44th anniversary of the end of the Vietnam War.
Yes. I was a soldier in that time era, Vietnam era. I was a military policeman patrolling narcotics dog handler. And yesterday I mentioned it at current events, and I thanked them for May 7th as the official day for the ending of the Vietnam War 44 years ago. And we have some events coming up with our veterans in this community. The one that the most is the American Legion is celebrating their 100th anniversary. And the American Legion will be marking their 100th anniversary this year. And the local celebration will take place Sunday, May 11th at 2 p.m. at Tucson's Greyhound Park, which is 2601 South 3rd Avenue. This is an event open to the public and hope you can join them. They'll have all kinds of different events and military ceremonies there. You can contact 747-2700 to get more information. And then annually, as you know, twice a year, Bill, I have a cadre of elected officials and leaders that go to the VA hospital, and we work with the schools here to mm-hmm. have thank you cards created. And we go to the VA hospital and to the some of the retirement homes and present those to our veterans. And we started out with just three schools. Now we're at about three dozen schools. And we have the cadre was about four or five people back then. And this time we have a whole bunch of elected officials from South Tucson, Pima County, and around and even at the state offices have come to help us, along with leadership from the American Legion, the VFW, the American Patriot Memorial, the American Valor, and the Gold Star Mothers.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful that you spend that time over at the VA hospital. You know, I was thinking about the American Legion. Yes, this would make sense that it's the 100th anniversary because the Legion was formed in the wake of the conclusion of Armistice Day in 1918, the conclusion of World War I. So that makes sense that it would be the 100th anniversary here in 2019.
And they do a lot of vital programs for our youth and for our veterans. And it's amazing the work that they do. You know, I was speaking last Sunday at the Elks Club, who had 75 students that were being given scholarships throughout the state and instruments for going on to onto higher learning. And that was very important, too. And the Elks does a lot for the veterans, and they do a lot for our children also, along with the Knights of Columbus and some of the other organizations that we work with.
All right, let's get an update on your homeless program. As I recall, let me say, 2015 is when you sort of spearheaded this homeless work program. Give us an update.
Well, you know, we have a van that picks up. We have people show up at Primavera Salvation Army or the Women's Sister Jose's if they want to work. We'll put them to work for 5 hours that day, and they get paid that day. It's to help them help clean up the city of Tucson. And also the women go to the animal shelter and provide exercise for their pets, their animals there, and helps them. And we've had 642 homeless people have taken part. 211 sites have been cleaned up. 150 miles of roadway cleared. 178,000 pounds of trash cleared. 32% of these are seeking permanent employment, and 40% are now in housing. So this helped, and that's gone through Tom Lewitke's group over at the El Pueblo. And it's been a great collaboration of private nonprofits, faith-based, and the government entities working together to help us get these folks back into mainstream society and moving them forward, and also helping them with their needs. And there's a lot of folks that are veterans that are homeless.
How do these? How does the program work? Do you? How do these people come to you?
Well, if they want to work, do the homeless work program, they'll go to Salvation Army or Primavera or Sister Jose's. And the reason why we ask that is because then El Rio provides a valuable service by screening them so that they can go work. Mm-hmm. And then they go to work. We have a navigator that goes out with the van and the equipment, and she asks them, what other type of services do you need? Mm-hmm. And it's a great collaboration because Caridad provides a meal, and St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church has a mobile shower. So if these individuals want to take a shower and get a and they have a clothing bank also, they want to get their change of clothing, then they can also do that day. And then they have cash in their hand.
Wow.
And one individual bought the car part he needed, fixed his car, and he went home. Mm-hmm. Another individual went to the Greyhound bus terminal, bought a one-way ticket home. So these things have happened, and it's a great feeling. But we've had, you know, so many issues with the challenges with this population. And in the wintertime, we usually it rises because people can survive living outside here in Tucson or in the state of Arizona, as opposed to living in the Midwest or in the East, or, you know, with the cold weather. So this has been a good collaboration of working together, the Diocese of Tucson, the faith-based community, all the nonprofits have come together and helped us with this. And the HSL properties, Humberto Lopez, when we started this up, we got $25,000 from the city and $25,000 from the county, and he saw the program and he matched it, $50,000.
Mm.
He also did over at Sister Jose's, Sarina's Kitchen, he built that. When they had to be moved out of the area where they had to move, they renovated the old Cummings Supply place, and they put the kitchen in there, which really helped them. And the community came together, opened up their arms to help solve this issue in our community. And that's why we're so blessed to be in Pima County. We don't point fingers. We don't scapegoat. We don't place blame. All we do is roll up our sleeves to solve the challenge that's in front of us.
And we've been showing that with what's been going on over at the old Benedictine Monastery all the migrants. Yeah.
Yes, the asylum seekers. You know, it's not like we put out an invitation to come to Tucson.
Yeah.
It's the Border Patrol and several, ICE have dropped them off here, not only in Tucson, but San Diego, Yuma, Phoenix, Las Cruces, and El Paso. So these are the challenges we have. And I tell you, the diocese and Ward 6, Steve Kosachik and Ann Charles and the mayor's office have taken this by the hand. And it's a short-term issue that we've been able to address. And then when we had the overflow over at El Pueblo, I'll tell you, Brent Dennis, John Strader, the captain, and all these folks, we all came together. We just saw the issue, the challenge, and we dealt with it. You know, and now the mayor's put out a request for matching funds. He was able to raise $25,000 from the Jewish Community Center folks. And then I understand that he was telling me the other day that they already matched that $25,000.
That's great.
To help these folks. And in July, we're going to have to find another location because this has been going on for a while. It's been out under the radar, but it's been happening. And now we got to look at what we're doing. And we're talking to other faith-based communities. Pastor Brent Armstrong at the Tucson Baptist Church and John Arnold with Project PEP have all looked at the ways that they can help and assist.
Everybody and pitching in, right?
Exactly. Yep. That's all it is. That's what the beauty about Tucson is all about.
Yeah, people do help each other here.
Exactly. You know that. When you go on your travels all across the world, number one, you come back and you appreciate the United States Tucson.
Yes, sir.
That's why I compare it. When I go to Europe, I say, man, I'm glad I'm in Tucson. When you have to pay extra for ice or you buy old fruit, you appreciate, you know, Tucson.
Yeah, that's it. Councilman, I'm going to have to take off. Thank you so much.
Hey, thank you so much, and God bless you, and have a safe trip.
Thank you very much. Richard Fimbres on the Buckmaster Show on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. I'm Bill Buckmaster, along with Bob Dio, my engineer producer. Around the Table with Jennifer English is coming up next here on 1030 The Voice. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Back with you on Thursday at noon. Have a great day.